Title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Enemy's Help, Part 4. The Enemy's Help, Part 4. And we're going to continue on our series about the enemy and how he helps you. The Enemy's Help, Part 4. And we said, and I want to get to something this morning, so I'm going to kind of go over what we've talked about over the last few weeks, and then we're going to accelerate. Amen? Because I want to share some things that is going to be not earth-shattering, but I think will help you understand why there's a true enemy, and that, you know, some people blame the devil for everything, but there's always mounted attacks against you, and you wonder why there's so much pressure sometimes and why you have to go through some stuff, and you're like, Lord, why can't I just have a season of just ease, you know? Well, you do for a period, but then in order to get birthed into the next, you know, realm of where God wants to take you, there has to be some pressure that goes through. Just no different than a woman that has a baby. She's going to have some pressure before that baby comes out. Amen? And we said that the arrival of an enemy in your life is a sign that this present season is finally coming to an end. And sometimes God will assign this an enemy to catalyst you to exit from one season into another season. And sometimes what he's trying to do is this. He's trying to say, son and daughter, I no longer want you to be stagnant. I don't want you to no longer stay where you're at. You're getting comfortable. So I need to allow the enemy, like he did Job. Not that God's trying to get you sick to teach you anything, because God doesn't get you sick. But he allows circumstances to generate you to move from where you're at to step over to somewhere he wants you to be. Amen? And the enemy is an indicator to you that God is planning movement in your life and that the transition is right around the corner. And you got to say amen to that. Amen. In order to have great progress in your life, an enemy is required, and the enemy gives you a purpose. If you're not fighting against something, then you ain't doing nothing. Uh-oh. Now, I don't mean you're fighting against your family, but you might be fighting against your flesh and blood. I've always smoked. So in order, you're fighting against that to break that stronghold, that habit that you've had. So you got to break it. Amen. You used to drink all the time, drink, and all of a sudden you're battling that, and God will say, now's the time for you to break loose of that and quit that drinking, and guess what happened? God will give you an opportunity to quit that drinking. Amen. Amen? I've been sober, I'm thinking about it now, for about, let's see, I've been married for almost 22 years without a drink, but I drank enough those years prior to last me all in eternity. Amen. I drank a few too many on occasion, amen? But you got to understand that there's a Goliath, a Pharaoh, and a Satan that stands between you and who you're destined to become. There's always a giant that you're going to have to overcome. There's always some kind of Pharaoh, someone who's trying to set some rules that aren't really good rules. And then there's a Satan that wants to snuff you out and stop you to be from being blessed, amen? The enemy can be any circumstance, or any person, any sin, any crippling character flaw that the devil can dream up or use to threaten you from completing your purpose. The whole key to the devil is to stop what God has started in you. He wants to kill your dream. He wants to kill your vision. He wants to stop what's going on, because we know that God is the architect for our life. He has blueprints. He already has the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He already knows how it's all going to come together. He already has the answer. The only thing is we don't. And we have to walk through life. And he's saying, listen, all you got to do is understand I'm the architect. I've got the blueprint. All you got to do is follow it. Amen? Now, you've got to understand, we talked about that we have been predestined and we've been foreordained. That means that God's already planned some stuff out for us. And that's why the enemy wants to oppose you. There's some things in you that the devil doesn't want you to complete, because there's people connected to you. There's lives that are connected to you that are supposed to go to heaven. And some are in the balance, and you're the one that's going to help tip it over so that they go to heaven instead of going to hell. Amen? Uh-oh, man, some serious business. I've got some responsibility. Yes, you do. The arising of an enemy in your life is a key indicator that the next stage of your future is about to be born. And the more that you identify with Jesus, we said this last week, the more that you identify with Jesus and are molded into his likeness and resemble the Creator, the devil gets angry. The devil didn't like Jesus. He hated Jesus. And the more and more that you understand that you're starting to sound like him, starting to talk like him. You're getting the old ways you used to be chipped away, and all of a sudden, now you're starting to resemble him. The devil's going to hate you a little bit more. Why? Because you're looking, he's looking at someone that looks just like Jesus, and Jesus is the one that defeated him and put him in hell and Hades for eternity. Jesus gave him the final judgment. He allowed you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Isn't that what the Bible says? So the devil is not happy with you. The devil isn't concerned about fighting the things that you're doing. He's fighting who you're becoming. The devil doesn't want you to become like Jesus. He wants you to stay in your lane, do your old things. When you weren't saved, the devil never messed with you, did he? Seemed like you always had enough money to get to the bar. I always did. I always had enough money to go hook up with my friends and go out and carouse around and do crazy things. Devil never had car accidents when I was with them, never had anything break, never had any attack. Everything was smooth sailing because I was smooth sailing right to hell. Amen? See, real trouble will not come in your life to challenge what you're doing. It will come to test who you are. You're going to have some real challenges, but you got to know that you have a Bible, you have the Word there that can help you be different than the way you used to be. The Bible is your resource. The Bible is your answer manual. Amen. I used to love the college books they used to give us, and in the back it had the answers. Because then I could work the problem. If I couldn't figure it out, I could go back and look at the answer and then work back to get that same answer. Amen. Well, we already have the answer. His name's Jesus. Amen. Your battle with the enemy isn't over your stuff. He's not fighting to take your car. It's a fight to try to make you something different than who you really are in Christ. So we're going to take a look at the Word this morning. If we're going to stand just for a moment for 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. We've been reading this the last 3 weeks. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are just temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The light affliction that you're going through, the little bit of pain, the little bit of pressure, the little bit of attack that you've had, the little bit of things that have creeped up in your life, are just a light affliction. But God's working those things for His glory. He's trying to help you get beyond where you're at today. He wants you to see that there is a future that's bright. He wants you to know that the things that you see today are only temporary, but He's got some things for you that are eternal. And that's the reason why we have to go through some stuff. Amen? Lord, bless this Word. Bless your people. Let them open their spiritual ears to hear what you're going to say. Allow me to be your vessel this morning, Heavenly Father, to say and do what you want. Holy Spirit, you'll be my guide this morning to speak to your people that you love and I love. So, Lord God, let them get ready to engage, to get ready to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You can be seated if you can. All right. Here's the deal. Becoming more like the Creator. We said last week that the more you do things like God, the more the devil gets upset. Because you're looking like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I remember being in some fights, and I haven't been really beat up, but I remember my brother, he defeated me one time in my front yard. Amen? You know, he was the enemy. He defeated me, whooped on me. I was afraid to ever go back to him because I already took one whoop, and I didn't want to take a second one. Amen? Well, that's how the devil feels about you. He sees something coming. He sees he's going to get another whooping. He's going to get his backside beaten up a little bit because he looked just like Jesus. You talk just like that one that whooped me. You're just like the one. You sound, you act like him. You're starting to get a whole bunch of people to be just like him. He don't like that. So he's going to oppose you. Remember that the devil isn't concerned with fighting the things you're doing. He's fighting who you're becoming. You're looking like, you're sounding like, you're acting like Jesus. He don't like that. Amen? I've learned something, though. about the Bible now, that God does answer your prayers. God does answer your questions. But sometimes he doesn't do it the way I would do it. He doesn't do it as quick as I would like for that to happen. And that my timing may not be his timing, but his timing is always the right timing. Amen. And I know that this causes a huge frustration for all of us, because we're like, come on, God, anytime you want to help us out, right now would be an okay time. You know, there's a song, he's an on-time kind of God. Yes, he's on time. But man, Lord, yesterday would have been better than, just coming today. Amen. But his timing is always good and is always great. And you and I think about something. I have a daytime planner when I started off. 20 years ago, daytime planner. I want to get my time. I want to use my time wisely. And now we have cell phones. And so I got two of them now, so I could be more efficient. Now I got an iPad and iTouch and this, and a laptop and that. And so I could manage my time a little better. And the whole time, God's just laughing. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm just trying to save more time so I can be with you. And I'm trying to get 19 things in this bag that only holds 12, and trying to get all this time. And we got to understand that God is not on a time constraint. Let me say again, God is not on a time constraint. We're on a time constraint. We're in a hurry when McDonald's don't get my thing and the 90 seconds come up and I say, where's my food? Oh, sir, can you park over there? Our cheeseburgers aren't ready. What do you mean cheeseburgers? Right? It's all you guys do is make cheeseburgers. What do you mean I can wait another 5 minutes? Can you bring me my milkshake? See, if we could understand why an enemy might be necessary, we need to get a grip on something very important about God. That it could take years of your precious time, maybe even decades, to accomplish something that is important to him. See, we want things right now, but sometimes he'll take his time. We look at it as taking his time. But there's some things important to him that he wants to get planted in you. There's some things he wants to do through you. And he's not, and I've been asking God about this. And I said, Lord, I believe we're a church of 3,000. I know through the internet and that we're going to be connected with through the web page. And we're going to meet a lot of people. But I said, Lord, man, I'd like to have 3,000 in Las Vegas just coming to church. Other pastors get it. And he goes, and then shows me that, it could be a couple of years or it could be a decade. I go, a decade? He says, because I'm trying to accomplish something that's important to him. It's something that he wants to see accomplished. Maybe I want something, but he's saying, not yet, because I want to accomplish something in you. All this time we think is critical, God is just trying to work something out. Because here's the thing about God. The things of God have small beginnings, often so small that they go unnoticed. And I said, Lord, I've been through some tests. I've been through some trials. I've been through some fights. I battled sickness and disease, and I won twice, Lord. What are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to do? And he says, there's something great in you, and there's something great in the people that come to your church. But sometimes I do things, and it's so small that it goes unnoticed. Until then, I put an enemy there to make it noticeable. I said, Lord, can't they see us? We're on the mountaintop. We got the view of the city from this building. Why don't they come? Because their ears are deaf, he said. I don't need God today. I don't have time. Everything's okay. Really. Everything's good with me. I don't need God. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to hear some word from some man who's hearing from God. See, God is trying to use men and women of God to be a vessel that they can pour through so that what has been unseen will be seen by the world. He started small. We've been 9 years at this thing. I'm like, Jesus. I've seen people come and people, I got more that gone that stayed. Was it me? He said, no, it's the word. Offensive, it runs people off. They don't want to submit. They didn't want to submit to me. Get used to it. He says, you know, I preached to 5,000, but at the end of that, the cross, how many were there standing with me? I fed 5,000 men and their wives and kids. There was 10 or 15. Where were they? I had 12 and one sold me out for some silver. An enemy in my camp to help me, to propel me to the cross. He says, don't get sour grapes so you only have a few. Right now, that's all good because you got a foundation that's been rooted. It's all right. So he shared with me about the enemy and how he helps us. You're going to like this morning. There is a deed in your seed. There is a deed in your seed. Now, I say that is because you and I are like seed. And you need to be planted in order for God to have a harvest come through you. Uh-oh. Take a look at Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 3. It says, listen! That was the first point I got. Listen. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. This is Mark 4, 3, New King James. And it says, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up. And because it had no depth of earth, it basically died. But when the sun was up, it scorched it, and because it had no root, it withered away. Let me stop right here. There was some that fell on the wayside, but the birds ate it. Even God will take care of the birds of the air. Wasn't meant for them, but come on. Then some fell on stony ground. Some fell on people that had a heart of stone that you've tried to talk to them. You tried to help them, but and there you seen a little growth, and then all of a sudden the sun came out, scorched it, and it withered away. And then some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no crop. So there was something growing, but the thorns came out and choked it out. You know people like that. I've had people try to choke me out. But I'm still standing. But then some fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. He's talking about you. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Because some seed fell on good ground. Good ground where you've been praying. Good ground where you've been fasting. Good ground that you've been coming to the church every Sunday faithfully seeking out the Word of God. And then some of you had a 30, a 60, and some a 100-fold. I like that it went into this ground, this good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. The fact that the enemy surfaces in your life is an indicator that there's an unborn seed in you. Let me say that again. The fact that the enemy shows up, he surfaces up in your life, is an indicator that there's an unborn seed in you. And the enemy doesn't show up because of what you're already doing. The enemy shows up to steal what has yet to be born. Uh-oh. The devil's coming to steal something that's yet to be born because you're like a seed. Now get this morning. There's something in you that the devil doesn't want to birth because it's dangerous for him. But it's good for all of us. Take a look at John 12, verse 24. Amplified Bible. I'm going to help you this morning. John 12, verse 24. Amplified says this way, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others. It yields a rich harvest. Now, I'm going to talk about the natural for a second. When I got married to my wife, before I was married, I was a single man. I did whatever I wanted to do, whatever I wanted to do, and no one's going to tell me what to do. Amen. Think about that. But I was by myself. I'd be lonely. I can't produce kids on my own. I can't have offspring. I have no one else to share it with. So I had to die to some of myself. I could no longer be arrogant, conceited, and cocky and get away with that and have someone still like me. Because the first time I met my wife, she says, what time it was? And I says, it's time for you to buy a watch, honey. That's what time it is. And walked away. That's pretty arrogant. That's pretty conceited. That's pretty cocky when you're looking at such a fine woman there. Amen. So I can say that because she ain't here this morning. I'm afraid, very afraid of her now. But I had to learn that I had to die to self. There were some things in her that had to die to self so that we could come together to become uno, one, with God. We're like two seeds joined together now. Amen? And here's the thing. The fact that the enemy has arisen in your life is an indicator that the seed that's in you is about to manifest. Now, I got that the other night, and I was like, oh, I got some seed in me. It's about to grow. It's about to take off. And 3,000 people, I might have underestimated how many people are going to hear the word. You're going to like this now. Get ready. This is the point you have to get this morning. A seed can produce fruit only when it's resisted. You like it? A seed can only produce fruit when it's resisted. It's the job of the soil to resist the seed to produce and bring out what's on the inside of it. Let me say that again. It's the job of the soil to resist that seed, holds it down, right? To produce and bring out what's on the inside of it. That's why the enemy is so important, because he's resisting you. And when he's resisting you, he's helping you. He's helping you because there's something on the inside of that seed that's about to come out. There's something that's going to manifest. And the devil is so fooled because he's trying to destroy you. He's trying to resist you. He's trying to hold you back. But the whole time you're resisting, God is going to push through that soil. What's in the inside of you is great and mighty and awesome. And that soil is there to resist the seed, but because what's inside the seed has to be resisted before it can break through to the soil. How many times have you planted a plant and you planted the seeds and you waited a week and 2 weeks and nothing's going, and all of a sudden now it has one little sprout, it broke the ground. It took that much time of resistance to break through it, and then all of a sudden it grows, and all of a sudden, man, we got trees in my house that were started with a seed. They're gigantic now. Start off with a seed. Start off, but it had to have some resistance of the ground, the soil. Because what it does is it brings out what's on the inside of it. If you plant an apple seed, you get what? Apple tree. You plant a pumpkin seed, what are you going to get? Pumpkin. That seed sits dormant until you plant it. I could have pumpkin seeds sitting in a you know, you ever go to like a farmer's market, they have all the different seeds you can. They're dormant. They don't work. There's nothing happening until you plant them. You got to plant them in the ground. Don't put them in shallow ground, because what will happen is the heat and the sun will scorch it, and then it will wither away. If you just took the seeds and you threw them out on the ground, birds of the air are going to eat them. But those that are planted in the good ground, where there's going to be some resistance, there's going to be a devil who's going to try to pick on you a little bit. He's going to put some things. He's just there to test what's been already inside of you. And every time you get tested, you get a little smarter. Every time you get pushed a little bit, every time you get a little bit more resistance, guess what happens? You get a little stronger. No different than when you lift weights. You start off with 10 pounds and 20 pounds and 30 pounds and 50 pounds. And you get those and you get those, no problem. And now all of a sudden, the more resistance you have, the stronger the muscle. Remember, if you lift too much, your muscles ache. Why? Because you resist it. You work them out. Amen? No different than your faith muscles. The more resistance you take, that's why you can't be number one by beating number 10. You got to take out number one. Amen? Like I said, my brother was number one. He ain't number one no more, praise God. I didn't defeat him in that way. I just told him I would never be like him. He was a Christian. He got saved first. He thought he joined a cult. I think he lost it. 2 weeks, he finds this girl, and all of a sudden he gave up drinking, alcohol, all this craziness. And what happened to you, brother? I said, I'd never be like you. I'm worse. I'm the pastor now. Never thought I'd be like him. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like frail clay jars containing this great treasure. There's a great treasure inside of you. There's a great seed that's been placed in you. And the devil is going to resist you and fight you. And as he's doing, you're going to break through. It says this makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Ever think about this verse 8? We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. That might speak about you today. We are perplexed but not driven to despair. We are hunted down but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. You're going to go through some stuff. You may be pushed, you may be shoved around, you may be misunderstood, you may be picked on. They might pick on you because of your skin, of your color, the size of your weight. I mean, I've been there, done that. Amen. Laughed at, picked on. But when the enemy rises, God is allowing the resistance because he knows what's on the inside of you and it needs to come out. There's something good inside of you. There's something that God wants to pull out of you. Amen? So that's why you go through some tests and you go through some trials and you go, it's the devil's not trying to steal your car, your clothes, your home. No, he's just trying to get something that's inside of you called that seed. He wants to crush it. He wants to choke it out. He wants the birds of the air to and men and women to steal that from you. But when you got it planted in the good ground, and then there's planted deep down, and then it takes that root system, and all of a sudden it begins to grow. There's resistance all the way up until it breaks through. And then you get to see the fruit. A seed is not the end of the life of the seed. It's the beginning of what the seed will become. It's planted in the ground and it looks like this, but it ends up being something different. Man and woman get together to have a baby. It's a seed and an egg. And then it comes and makes you. He made you perfect in his image. It didn't hold nothing back. He didn't make you not smarter than the next person. He made you different than the next person. Because he wants everybody to be a little different. If we were all the same, it'd be kind of boring. In fact, everything in life starts from a seed form. Next time you see the word seed, just think of potential. Because Jesus sees you as a potential. Every time you see the word seed, think about the potential what that's going to be. Next time you go to the store, go down the line and look at all the seeds that you can plant. And then think about you being planted and the potential that's in you. Think about that. Think about, hey, I'm going to plant a seed. It might be a little resistance. I got resistance about opening this church building. I got resistance that, no, we don't want you. You haven't been in business but only 2 months. Who says you could pay for the mortgage? I said, Jesus did. You willing to sign personal? I'll sign whatever you want me to sign. Get in the building, and then you got the city one. Well, you have a special use permit, sir? For what? I know I'm special. How much money is this going to cost me? Well, sir, it's about $500. Then he didn't want to give it to me. You know, you got to sprinkle the thing with sprinklers. And I said, I don't own the building. Well, sir, we're going to have to close you down. I says, I don't think you can. I says, I'm not having church services here. I'm having a meeting. And what your law says, I could have meetings in any kind of building I want as long as I don't hold a church service. Kind of strange, ain't it? And he was right. We're the church. We ain't having no church service. We're just having a meeting. You're the church. You're the church everywhere you go. Guy says, well, I guess I have to give you that special use permit. I said, I thought you did. 9 years later, I still got that special use permit for this building. Carried it over to the next one. Because, see, once God puts a seed in you and begins it to take root, nothing can kill it. It may be resisted. It may try to get chopped off. There may be a season of drought, but the plant's still going to live because you've been planted in good ground. Whatever God has declared something over your life, he puts a seed of those things he's declared on the inside of you. Let's look at this last scripture in the New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes 3:11. This is going to help you not get so stressed. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. God, being the architect, sees the beginning. The end. He sees everything beautiful, but he sees it in his timing, maybe not yours. Don't be frustrated if it takes a little longer. I quit and closed this church 5 times already. Well, God, there ain't 100 people, I'm done. He said, if you had 100 people, you wouldn't know what to do. So when I started, I said, Lord, let's start with 100 people. And I had headaches with just the 10 I had. I went, oh, Jesus, help me. Couldn't sleep at night. He says, and you wanted 90 more headaches, huh? Lord, give me 1,000. He goes, all right. But he says, now I'm ready. Preparation has been made. I don't have 84 tabs in my Bible trying to read through them all. Having church at my home and people not knowing that the church closes at midnight and I had to get sleep in the morning. See, the enemy is after the seed that's in you. He wants what's in the inside of you. He's after your dream that hasn't been born. He's after your vision that has not come to pass yet. He's after the you that can be identified but hasn't yet been played out. You're already an overcomer. You're already blessed. You've already been healed. You already have the victory. You already have something inside of you. And And sometimes you may feel that it's buried under the dirt. That's okay. It's resisting you, but it's going to break through. That's why you have to have an enemy. The enemy is there to help you. He's there to apply a little pressure. He'll bring people across your pathway. When you've already been stressed out, he'll bring somebody that'll really stress you out. It is a cap, like a, you know, cap it, man. I've already had a bad day, and now what? How are you going to react? He's trying to get something out of you. I had a guy at work, says, man, you got like a patience of, you got patience of a saint. I says, you'd see me at home sometimes. You wouldn't say that. He says, yeah, but you handle it so good at work. I says, yeah, but 5 years ago I didn't. I had to get squeezed a little bit more and then seen what would come out. And squeezed a little bit more and then what would come out. And the devil would bring every amount of every attack from every way to squeeze and see what would come out. And now it comes out, it's all good. So what? So move on. Still working on me in the home front a little bit. Sometimes I get a little squeezed after a long day. But I'm getting better. I'm getting those tests so I can have a testimony. When you get tested, the real you comes out. That real seed that's been put in you is starting to come out. The old junk is getting taken out and being removed and taken to the trash yard. This morning, allow those struggles and tests in your life help you form and be conformed more to be like Jesus. Remember that you got to understand that God's not on a time constraint. I've had great ideas. I want to run this kind of business. I want to do this kind of thing. I want to do that. And I was like, Lord, let's hurry up. The Lord says, the time's not right. I'll tell you when it is. Just prepare. Keep on preparing. Keep on doing what you're doing, because when the time comes right, I'm going to introduce it. It'll be successful. His timing may not be your timing. I thought about this. I said, Lord, what? Give me an example. I want to know what you mean. He says, Abraham and Sarah. 100 years old having a baby. I said, Lord, I can't have that in my house, Jesus. We're getting those two out that we have. Love them. Surprise! Waiting for my mom and dad to call me. And dad's going to be 82 this year, and they're going to say, oh, he ain't going to believe it. Marianne's going to have a baby. And my dad said, amen. God's timing. It's God's timing. Think about David and Goliath. David was this little lad. Wasn't ready to fight no Goliath. But God's not worried about time, age, color, race, nationality, color of your hair, because you're blonde. What did I do? What did I forgot my name? The world says you'll amount to nothing, but God says he's up to something. What God has started in you, he's going to complete. He sees the beginning and the end. He always sees you finished. Why? Because he's the architect. He already seen the final drawing. The renderings are in and you're perfect. But you and I are like a seed that needs to be planted. We have a master gardener named God. He's going to pull some things out. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you have to rototill some stuff and get some of those things that might be choking you out of your way. But those roots are trying to hold on to you and pull you back down. The fact that the enemy has surfaced in your life is an indicator that there's some unborn seed in you. And the enemy doesn't just show up because of what you're doing. He's showing up because he wants to steal what's not been born yet. That dream, that vision. A seed can produce fruit only when it is resisted. I haven't seen an apple tree get planted on some rocks and it grew to be an apple tree. It took deep roots. When we lived in Michigan, we had these trees, oak trees, in front of our house. And they took over the root system so big, it would actually break the concrete. And it would, if it was at the street, we're all the way in the back where the TV camera is right now, to here, and it would take root and it would grow underneath it, and it would actually get into the house, break the foundation, the The roots are so strong. But the tree is also very tall. When the ice storms come, it would knock down the tree. Well, that's you. When the storm's coming, it's not going to knock you down. You might lose a couple branches. But you're still going to stand tall because you're rooted in the things of God. And the devil's trying to take what has been placed in you. And the soil that you've been planted in is good soil. A seed is not the end of the life of the seed. It's the beginning of the seed, what it'll become. You're going to become something. You started as a little seed, and there's this great potential in that little, a mustard seed. God said, have faith of a mustard seed. A little mustard seed, but it grows something big. But it has to go through some resistance of the ground. In fact, everything starts in a form of a seed. The word seed, remember, is potential. Small things come in, or good things, big things come in small packages. A little seed don't look like nothing, and it's planted, but then all of a sudden it becomes something. Something able to feed your family, feed your life. It may serve others. Oh, come on, somebody. Real trouble will not come in life to challenge what you're doing. It comes to test you. Your battle with the enemy isn't over your stuff. It's a fight on who you're becoming. And he's trying to differentiate you. He's trying to hold you back from what God's potential is. He's trying to switch up the seed. He's trying to scorch your earth. He's trying to have the birds of the air eat it. He's trying to get the thorns to choke you out. But you're in good ground. Shout, devil, I know what you're after. You want what's inside of me. Let me tell you about my dreams and visions. They will come to pass. What's inside of me has taken deep root. What God has started in me, he will complete. Devil, thanks a lot for helping me. I see the seed in me and its great potential. And I'll have a harvest that God has placed in me. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Did you get anything? Do you get it? Why you get resisted? Why you're hated? Why people, you're on the haters list? You understand when you wake up in the morning, the devil is mad at you. You understand? There's assignments against you because God knows there's such a great potential in you. The devil knows there's a great potential in you. And you know who's going to win? God's going to win. Every time. But you just got to say it. You got to know that there's a seed in you and the potential of the seeds to become whoever you want. You might become president of the United States. I may have to run next time. Are you independent? No, I'm dependent. Who? On Jesus. I got the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I got all the offices covered. Don't worry about it. Don't need no vice president. I got the Holy Spirit to guide and direct. Thank you very much. You're a loon. You're crazy. All right. Tell me. I can add. I know how to balance a checkbook. Quit being lazy. That's why the devil comes sometimes when we're lazy Christians to motivate us. I've been in churches and the lazy people are still at the same church. That's why they always say the policy of the church is when you have 100 people, 80% of the work's done by the 20%. Isn't that true? If you had 100 people, 20 of the people are going to do 80% of the work. What's the other 80 people doing? Being lazy? Not being blessed? Come on. Every time the church opened, I would be there. You didn't have to tell me twice. And that's when my life was jacked up. Now I'm going to be there anyways. Because it's even better. Maybe someone will come in, you give a testimony. Amen? I mean, Ron's been healed. I mean, every time I hear a testimony, I don't got to cry. Because that's the goodness of God. And I need to make sure you pray for me this week. So I got to have surgery on my shoulder. And it's going to go well. I'm believing I'm on a mission from God. Someone's going to get healed, or someone's going to get set free, or someone's going to get delivered, or someone's going to get saved. Something's going to happen. Maybe the glory of God will fall down in that place, and all the doctors will just get saved, and I'll wake up and they're going to say, well, something special about that guy. God's up to something. Maybe they're going to crack open a seed inside of me, and they're going to see something. Come on. Maybe this week you're going to have some resistance, but that seed's going to take a whole nother growth inside of you. Come on. There's something inside of you that is great. Those dreams, those visions, God wants to birth those things, but sometimes it has to be resisted. My daughter resisted going through the birth canal, so they had to have a C-section. But one way or another, the baby was coming out. There was some resistance. But what was inside did come out. A blessing of the Lord. Think about the potential what's inside of you. That's why the devil don't like you. That's why people talk about you. Because you got something they want to have, but they haven't been able to tap into it. They don't get it. But they don't want to come and get it. I'm hoping and believing it'll come my way. As they're sitting there at home. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Oh yeah, I believe in God. Do you? Jesus was an out and about kind of guy, getting it done. You notice he didn't stay in just one city. He traveled around. He got out of his family comfort zone, and he went to other places where he could help seed grow, because in his own city he wasn't even welcome. Nothing would grow. It was stagnant. For 30 years Jesus really didn't have any attacks in his life, but as soon as he was identified with God, as soon as you get identified with God, there will be some things that will come your way. Why? Because now there's some seed that's about to be activated. It's radioactive. It's hazardous to some people's health. The devil's health. Because you're about to create a whole bunch of vacancies in hell and fill up heaven. Because there's such a great potential in you. That's why the devil fights you. That's why the devil don't like you. That's why the devil resists you. That's why people come across your way and gang up on you. Because they don't like you. Well, that Jesus. All you do is talk about the Lord. What do you want me to talk about? The devil? You want me to talk about the president or the Congress or the Senate? They're all goofed up. Let's talk about somebody that can fix it all. The creator of the universe. Why are we all so negative? And, you know, and this happened to me, and I'm going to fix so-and-so. Let God fight your battle. I meddled in it. I messed it up. God had a better way of fixing that person than I did. He knows just how to apply the proper pressure to bring you to your knees. But if you get involved, you're going to mess it up. I'm just trying to help, Lord. Get out of my way. I got to figure it out. Lord, but I'm in a hurry. He says, I'm not. But Lord, I need it now. He says, you don't need it now. If you need it now, I'll give it to you right now. I don't hold out. But we're in a hurry. Oh, that pastor, he preached at 11:42. My God, we got things to do. These seats are bugging me. I got to hurry up and I got to eat, man. You know, I understand. I haven't eaten since yesterday. I'm hungry too. We're going to get out of here. Looking at me. I love you, Pastor, but I'm hungry. You hear my stomach growling? The kids are in back. Just don't worry. We're loading them up with sugar and going to let you take them home. We're good. We're happy. There's a seed in you. There's a deed in the seed. Think about that. When you have a deed, that means you own it all. When I own my home free and clear, I get the deed of sale. When you pay off your car, you get the title. You get the deed to the car, the truck, the motorcycle, whatever you own. You own the deed. It's inside of you. This needs to manifest. Amen? Lord, I ask you to bless your people. Let them take this seed that's been in them and germinate it, Lord God. Allow it to, let them process today, Lord God. Seed equals potential. And that potential in them is great. Let them remind themselves of a little seed, Lord God, has a great potential. A little apple seed will take up a whole bunch of ground. And Lord God, we're about creating some vacancies in hell right now and taking up some ground for Jesus. So Lord God, use us this day as we depart from here today, as we love on each other as we go. Lord God, increase them, increase them, increase them, increase them, increase them. Get it done, Lord God, through your people. They're willing. They're participants. Guide them, direct them, continue, Lord God, to bless them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.